You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bibles today in Nehemiah chapter 2. I'm so grateful that you're here. And you B-Bus kids, I'm glad you're up there today. God bless you kids. Brother Frank and Debbie, good to see you back there. Brother Wayne and Debbie, good to see you in church today. I thank God for all of you, and thank God that you've chosen to be in God's house on this Lord's Day. While we're here, the other property is filled with the C-Bus ministry and the Spanish ministry. These classes have refilled with B-Bus ministry. We got church services going on, and thank God for all. We have Chinese ministry going on right now, and the Brazilians are here. They're being interpreted, and I'm so thankful for Brazilians. God bless you folks. And the Hispanics are at the other property. The Filipinos are in here, and the Indians are in here. I thank God for all of you. It's a joy that you've made God not only part of your life, you've made Him your life. And I'm so very appreciative of that. Today, I want to remind you, back on, it says here, October 26th, I preached from chapter 1 on what's broken in your life. Today, I'm preaching from chapter 2. And this is such an important message because you're going to need it in your life. I know you will. I don't want to bring age into this all the time, but I've pastored this church 50 years now. It's a long time to stay in the same place. But I can tell you, you're going to come to a point in your life, maybe age 70, maybe 75, maybe 80, maybe 27. But you're going to come to a point where you're going to have God rebuild your life. Ushers, bring folks in, please, if you will. You're going to have to, young people. I know we have basically teens and adults in here, a few kids. You're going to have to allow God to rebuild your life. You're going to make a mess out of your life. I've been really battling that in my life these days because I've pastored so many success stories. Pastors now and preachers and missionaries and evangelists that are around the world serving God, and hundreds of them. But I've had many more than that have failed in their Christian life. I've had many suicides. That's you know, if you're thinking about committing suicide, it's about the most cruel thing you could do to your family. Your mother will never get over that suicide, never. Your dad will never get over that suicide. Your nieces and nephews will never get over it. They'll never get over it. Maybe that's what you want. They say it's the greatest self trip you can ever make is suicide. I believe it. Maybe some of you are going to have kids be raised in a good Christian home, and some of your kids too turn out for God, and one's going to be a drug addict. That's going to happen in this auditorium. Alternative lifestyles. That's going to happen in this auditorium. And you're going to have to determine, I'm going to run my race. I have determined. I hear all the horror stories every week. And I have all the horror prayer requests that just break my heart. How can this happen? But I determined many years ago, I'm going to finish my race. And I'm going to finish it with joy. By the way, I'll also finish it with a broken heart. I know I will. Almost everybody calls me. They don't call me and say, you don't call a doctor when you're well. You call them when you're sick. People call me when they have problems. And we're dealing with a world that's full of problems. You're going to find in life that not only they get things broken, but you're going to have to rebuild that which you broke. And you broke it. You chose to sin. You chose to do wrong. You chose this heartache. Or someone chose it for you, or your son, or your daughter. But now you're reaping the consequences. I want to speak to you on this subject. Let God rebuild your life. Then said verse 17, I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in. Nehemiah was a great man of God. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He was living in captivity. He would taste the drinks, the drink of the king, and he would eat the food. And if he didn't die, then the king that he worked for realized that I can eat this too. His life was always on the line as a cupbearer. The war had ended, but Nehemiah stayed working for the king. Many people went back to Israel and they began to rebuild the things. But the Bible says that Hananiah, one of his brethren, came and said, I want to tell you about the condition of Jerusalem. The gates are burned with fire. And the walls are broken down. And God's word said, Nehemiah, when he heard these words, he sat down. I can recall a couple of occasions, too, to be exact, when my knees just buckled. I heard what I had to hear, and my knees just, I lost all strength in my knees. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. He heard that Jerusalem, his love for Jerusalem, he heard that it had been burned with fire, and the gates are up, are down, and the walls are down. And he sat down, and he wept, and he mourned, and he fasted, and he prayed, five things that he did. Because he was concerned. He never told anybody what would happen. And for 4 months he prayed. The king said, your countenance is different. What's wrong? And he told him that Jerusalem is burned with fire. I said, God put it in my heart, raised me up to rebuild the wall. And the king said, you can go, but you got to come back. Nehemiah went, and in 52 days, they built a wall around a city of 2 million Jews in 52 days. It was a miracle. But he had to get to chapter 2. He had to find some help. And in rebuilding something, I want you to see what they say. Then said I, ye see the distress that we're in. If you're going to rebuild your life, you're going to have to recognize you got a problem. If you're an alcoholic, you have to recognize. I've talked to hundreds of alcoholics through the years, hundreds and hundreds, and they'll all say, I'm an alcoholic, but I've got it under control. I'm under control. No, you're not under control. You're out of control. You cannot live a day without that alcohol. And God bless you. I see many people smiling because they're the same people that have had victory. And God can give you victory. But you have to admit where you are. I am an alcoholic. I am a drug addict. I am a pornography lover. I am in love with this woman, and I'm a woman. I'm in love with this man, and I'm a man. I'm a sinner. I'm full of corruption. You have to come, every single person has to come face to face with a holy God and say, this is what you think of my life. But we don't do that. We bow up our back and say, I don't care. In fact, I don't even think there is a God. Okay, go ahead and try it. Go in this room, many of you are going to try that. I don't believe there's a God. I don't even know about heaven. I don't know about hell. I don't know about any of these things. I just don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in that old time religion. It happens all. It's going to happen in this room. There's scores of people in this room today, and you're going to then blame God. It's fundamentalism. It's the Bible. It's Treber. Treber's, and it's amazing how Treber gets the blame so often. But it's your sin. And someday along the line, you will break. Someday along the line, you'll break and you'll say, okay, my only hope out now is suicide. You'll OD. That's what Mary Jean did, Norman. She was the most beautiful, beautiful lady in America's history, they say. She had a relationship with John F. Kennedy, our president. She had relationships with men all over the country. But she was a stepchild and was beat and abused by men, and they took advantage of her morally. And she was so beautiful, they went to Hollywood and began to shoot pictures of her. She took her clothes off and they took pictures of her. And it was man after man, but she said, "I am so miserable." And as a young lady, she overdosed on drugs that night, and she called her manager and said, "Sir, I need help. I'm gonna overdose." And he goes, "I could care less, Marilyn Monroe." Now, most of you don't know that name, but she was the icon of beauty in America. Marilyn Monroe was known by everybody. Elvis Presley, he grew up in a Baptist church. He sang, "He touched me." Oh, he started off singing songs. He sang, "How great thou art, how great." He sang all gospel songs. He sang "The Unseen Hand" that we sang here. He sang all of them. I was coming home from Korea in 1977. I got to Hawaii. We stopped there. I was preaching in Korea, and I came home, and they said, "The king is dead." I said, "King who?" And they said, "King Elvis. He just died of an overdose." You're going to get so hopeless and helpless that you'll commit suicide. You'll go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. But I'm telling you, friend, the only hope you have is that you'll say, "I see the distress that I'm in. God, you only can help me. There is a God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." God's word says that you see the distress that we're in. Notice what else he says. Lord, you have to recognize that you have a need. Admit your condition. You have to recognize this call. Then said I to them, "Ye see the distress that we're in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, come," here's the call, "let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, we be no more reproach." In order to, and this deals with courage, but in order to have, listen to this, in order to, are you listening? In order to have courage, I want courage, yep. But in order to have courage, you have to have adversity. Amen. Adversity comes. And then after the adversity comes, you'll either stand or you'll capitulate and give in. You're going to have to decide. I meet with people almost every week. I got one this week. They're going to stand before a judge about he and his wife been fighting, and they beat up one another. And you're going to stand before a judge, and she's going to show her pictures, and you're going to show your pictures of what you did to one another. The only hope you have is God. Somebody says, "Divorce this woman." No, the only hope you have is God. Amen. God could put that struggling marriage back together. Amen. God could do that. God could put your broken life back together. You're an executive. You were an executive. You were a CEO. And all of a sudden you've sinned and you've done so wrong before God. And now you're almost homeless. You're in poverty. You have no friends. All your friends will forsake you. You let the money channel dry up. You won't have friends. That prodigal son did that, did he not? Daddy never went looking for his prodigal son. But every night he'd go out there and look on those hills. Every morning he'd get up and look on those hills. One day in the distance he saw that prodigal son who was living in the hog pen of sin with the hogs. He had spent all that he had, and he went out every day and he goes, "I see someone walking home. Amen. I wonder who that is. Praise God. Amen. I think that's my boy. I think that's my son." Dad ran to meet him and embraced him and hugged him, and he made a fatted calf, and he killed a calf, and he put a robe on him and a ring on his hand, and he's already used his inheritance. He'll not get another inheritance. But he said, my son, who was gone and broken and dead, my son's come home. That's what you need. And you're not going to get there until your heart breaks before a holy God. Got a whole room full of people here that can announce he's right. You better listen to him. God's word says I need courage. I'm going to have to recognize that I have to obey the call of God. And Nehemiah's calling out, who's going to help me build this thing? Who's going to help? And I call to you today, who's going to help you get right with God? Courage, adversity. You have to have adversity. Look at the third thing. Verse 18, and I told them the hand of my God. Recognize God's hand's always in control. Recognize that God, you know, God's hand was there when you got saved. I think of that song. When he reached down his hand for me, he had to reach way down for me. He reached his hand down. Aren't you glad? Mary, aren't you glad that you're saved? Just, aren't you glad, Brother Andy and your precious wife, aren't you glad you're saved? Dana rode the bus, I don't know how many years ago, so many years ago as a kid. Aren't you glad that you got saved and your sister, a pastor's wife, now got saved? You got a niece that's getting married in a few days to my nephew, and they're going in the ministry. Aren't you glad that God reached out his hand to save you? Never let a day go by that you don't think of that day.
Yes.
I think of that day of my life, every day. And I'm preaching somewhere, every day I have to mention it. This fall, it's going to be 70 years ago. God saved my sorry soul. God's word, we sang today, 421. There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see. I like that stanza we sang, like, I long to see my Savior's face and tell this story, saved by grace. Verse 2, that hand has led me safe thus far through shadows drear. While it leads, I have no fear. I know, you know, God leads. His hand leads your life. He just leads you. I was sitting on a plane this week and coming home to the broadcast, and God let me sit next to a doctor. And I thank God, and he sent me a video. He said, Pastor, you need to do this with your life. I think that was God leading on my life. His hand was pushing me toward that doctor. That was the hand of God. I recognize the hand of God every day of my life. So many times I'm driving this valley throughout every day, and as I drive, I hit every red light. And I've tried to determine, because that's not my spirit, let's go through the red light. It's just, it's yellow, but it's really pink. Let's just go through. But I have learned that God sends those red lights in my life. It's his will. It's his will that I'm in the center of God's will, as far as I know, and it's God's will that I stop. And I go 150 feet, and I have to stop again. I go 200 feet, I have to stop again. I was on San Tomas the other day, this last week, and I had to stop at every light. I said, oh, this is light number 11, and I've stopped at all 11 of them. But you know, that's how God led me that day. Jesus led me all the way, led me step by step each day. Jesus led me. His loving hand will lead you. His loving hand wants to guide you. God's word said, Nehemiah said, I told them the hand of my God that was was good upon me. I want God's hand to rest so powerfully upon my life that because of my life, His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, showing Himself strong in those that are righteous. I want to live so righteous that God can stop in Santa Clara and say, I'm going to give them that building. Amen. Because of that pastor. Yes. Now, it might be because of you, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, child of God. I want that long after I'm gone, I want the overflow to just keep on coming, and that God is still blessing this church. Thank God for His hand. Oh, the touch of His hand on mine. I tell you, friend, I was praying this morning, if you will just be patient. You're so impatient. You're 18 years of age. Now you know it all. I'm not 18 years of age. But I can tell you, I have learned that's only His grace I've made some of the decisions I've made. Because now that I'm old, I can look back and say, God's way is the best. Amen. You young couples, God's way is the only way for your home. You're going to raise those little kids in the nursery and then grow them up and in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and you're going to find one of the three is going to go away from God. It's going to break your heart. That it'll keep you up at night. It will keep you up at night. I'm awake so many nights of the week. I'm praying for sinners in our church, people that love me, and they're going through heartache, and their kids have broken their heart, or their mate has broken their heart, and I'm just praying, oh God, please, please, please do something to that hole. There's a fourth thing, and I'm done. Verse 20. Verse 19, I'll just say this, I won't preach it. You're going to have to recognize there's going to be obstacles. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they laughed us to scorn. You get right with God, people will laugh at you. Number four, recognize God's going to help you. Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. I remember I was asking Portland at a pastor's fellowship, a luncheon. All these pastors were there, and they said, how in the world do you keep up with your members in the Silicon Valley? This is probably 30 years ago. And I said to them, I said, you know what? I pastor smart, smart people. There's over 100 of you now in this church, in medicine, in this church. You're as doctors and nurses and RNs, all those things. That's a lot smarter than I am. I think of you computer people, you that work with computers, and you that are working, many of you are working with robots now. That's a whole other subject. Very dangerous what's going to happen in America real shortly, probably within the next 6 months, 8 months with these robots. And I look at the people, I said, you know, I pastor people, they must look at me as I am dumb compared to them. They know so much more than I do. And that's not humility, it's just truth. But I said, I don't believe they're looking for a pastor that's as smart as they are. I think they're looking for a man that knows God. And that's my job. I'm to give myself continually to the Word of God and to prayer. And one day I'll pass away if the Lord tarries, and I know already who God's raising up. And God's going to raise him up to lead this church. You're going to be okay. You're going to be great. God's hands on his life and God's hands on your life. This church will be great. But you're going to have to stay focused that it's all about God. All things He might have the preeminence. Amen. Is your life broken down like the gates thereof. The only hope you have is God.
Amen.
The only hope, the one you're fighting the most, the one you're attacking the most, the only hope you have is God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love these people. I don't know. I don't know if I can say this. I think I can. I think I love them more than I love my life. I want to live for them. I want to serve them. They're so great. They're godly. Help them to wake up. They're tearing down the walls in defense of their life, rebelling against a husband, against a wife, rebelling against parents, rebelling against a principal, rebelling against authority, rebelling against the Word of God. Please, God, wake them up. They're tearing down the walls. Their defense is going to be exposed, and all of a sudden they'll face wild animals, and they'll face enemies that have come to destroy them because the walls are broken down. Speak to our hearts. You say, Pastor, I'm here. The walls are broken down. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? The walls are broken. Keep them up for a moment. The walls are broken down. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. God bless you. Up on the balcony, God bless you. Put them down. You know, that's what it is. You have to come to a point you admit it. God bless you. You're admitting it before God. How many are here? You're lost. If you died, you're not even sure you'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Brother Treiber. Pray for me. I'm going to lift my hand. All over the house. All over the house. Will you lift your hand? I need to get saved. Up on that balcony up there, those kids. All you folks in the balcony, the Lord, are you saved? God bless you. Thank you. And yes, put it down. Thank you. And who else? Who else? I need to get saved. I know I do. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, shall we?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.